The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
It will be National Tree Day on Thursday. Ireland is one of the least afforested countries in Europe. We only have 11% tree coverage. So to talk about trees, the impact on our ecosystems, on animals and ourselves, I'm joined by the President of the Tree Council and environmental consultant Aine Nealana. Aine, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Now tell me, what's going to happen on National Tree Day, which is distinguished from National Tree Week, which is in March?
That's right. National Tree Day is a day for schools, for children, for primary schools. And on National Tree Day, it's Thursday, the first Thursday in October every year. The children are back in school. They're learning about acorns and they're learning about conkers and leaves changing colour. So it's a very appropriate time to have National Tree Day. So on this day, then, all things trees happen in schools. Our theme this year is Rooting for Nature, and with Spar being our sponsor, and they have the logo under the tree at Spar. That's where the roots of the tree are. That's where the strongest part of the tree is holding the tree in the ground. So it all works out very well. So children in school then are going to be planting a tree on that day. There's a website devoted to this, treeday.ie. The teachers have been asking for their trees, and the holly is the tree this year that we're sending out on Quillen, which is actually a native, one of our native species. And this gets posted to the school this week, and they can plant their tree out in their garden or in the area where they have it. Tree, holly trees don't grow very large, don't grow very quickly, so it's very suitable for even a small area where it can be planted. And then as well as that, then there's a colouring competition. They can get also a packet of lovely colouredy pictures that they can colour in, and the whole 30 of them the class has makes a great big picture up on the wall, a bigger picture of all the little parts. So these are the things that they're doing on National Tree Day, as well as learning about trees, the importance of trees and the impact, the good impact lots of trees have on our environment.
Now let's talk about the holly tree in particular, because as we know, the holly, she bears a berry.
Well, she bears a berry, and this is right, because the holly tree is one of the few trees in Ireland that there are male trees and female trees. So if you have a male tree in your garden, as indeed I have, it'll never have a berry, because men don't have babies, as you know, Pat. But the female tree is the one that has the berries. So in springtime, the flowers are different. The male flowers just have pollen. The female flowers just have the ovary. So the pollen has to go from the male flower to the female flower, and then the berries come on the female tree. So the holly, she bears a berry, is very true. They were very astute in those days. And these berries then are the reproductive part of the tree. The seed is inside the berry. Mistle thrushes in particular really, really love these berries. Some of them are so belligerent that they actually claim it, a holly tree for themselves, and beat off all comers. They feed on the berries, the stones go through them, and the seeds then are germinate, the new trees germinate from those seeds. And quite often, if you're in a woodland, you can see holly trees growing right up against another tree, completely up beside an oak tree or something, and you wonder who planted that, but it was the bird that did it.
Yeah, and suppose the berries just fell off, as they would in time, would they germinate without going through a bird?
Not really, because it's actually the acidic juices in the bird's stomach that, you know, erodes away the outer skin on the seed. Seeds are very hard, so it needs to be striated. I suppose if you wanted yourself to do it and you didn't want to be having a bird in the business, you would actually take your holly berries, you know, pull the flesh off them and leave them in the freezer so they would spend a winter in the cold, and the following year then they would germinate. But I mean, the birds do it very efficiently, so that's the way to go out and dig up a little one if you want a tree in your garden, rather than going through all this rigmarole of striating them and doing it that way.
Now, there was a measurement back in 1904 of how much tree coverage we had. It was only 3%. We're still very low by comparison, say, with Finland, which is mostly covered in trees. But we have improved since 1904.
We have improved since 1904. That was under the British system, and our trees were practically all gone at that point, because the ones that were left were the ones on the landed gentry's estates that the peasants weren't allowed in to cut them down. Famine times with a larger population in the 1800s, like in any poor country, fuel was what they used for cooking in a lot of places, wood from the trees, and they were all removed. So in 1904, it was a great concern about this, and they set up Avondale, where they tested all of the trees in different blocks as to what would grow in Ireland. And this is where they discovered that the tree that would grow really well was the spruce tree that comes from British Columbia, the other side of North America. And so it was at that, I mean, if you go to Avondale still, you can see all those plots that they tried out, all the trees from around the world. And it was from that time that the decision was taken to reforest the country and to afforest new places, and indeed to use this evergreen tree as a source of timber, which they did.
Now, there are two kinds of trees, I suppose. Those Sitka spruce that grow long, high and tall, very straight, and they're very useful in the construction industry. So I kind of see that as a cash crop that grows quickly, is harvested quickly, and is very useful for construction. And then there are the other native trees that are more slow growing. And what are they used for?
Well, I mean, as you were saying, we have crops, which is what the Sitka spruce are, raw material for industry. And then we have what we call amenity woodland. And amenity woodland are woodlands of native trees. So you would have things like oak and holly, or you might have ash and elm, or you might have hawthorn, you might have willow, you might have all of these native trees growing in those, because they're the native ones that came back naturally after the Ice Age. Now, I mean, a lot of these trees are excellent for timber. I mean, the oak trees were very popular at one point for making barrels. They were used for making charcoal, for tanning, all of these things. And in fact, as we all know, the enemies passed the Gunaimud, when Cromwell's soldiers were given land in the 1600s, they acid stripped, they took out trees, sold them, and got back to England out of the way, having removed a lot of the trees. So there was a big deforestation of those trees then. So, I mean, deciduous trees have a very great use in all kinds of timber, but they grow half as quickly as the Sitka spruce, because they only have leaves for half the year. They're deciduous, and as a consequence, if you're trying to get trees for timber, the Sitka spruce will grow twice as quickly. So in 40 years, your Sitka spruce tree will have 5 tons of carbon taken out of the atmosphere. It'll take an oak tree 80 years to do the same thing. But on the other hand, your mixed species woodland, like we would have with an amenity woodland, is actually much greater value for biodiversity and for wildlife. And in fact, Caolte are replacing all the woodlands on South Dublin. When they removed the Sitka spruce that were planted formerly, they're putting all those back as amenity woodlands, as deciduous native species, not putting back the conifers that were there when they're harvested. They're being replaced with amenity native species woodlands, which is great, really.
Okay, now anyone who wants to check up on what's happening on Thursday, treeday.ie, very simple website to remember. You also have a book in the shops currently.
That's right. I have produced another book. It's called Wild and Wonderful, and it's an account of the different habitats around the world. I'm talking about places like forests in New Zealand, the forests that we have in California. I'm talking about things like the Arctic, where I've been, and Costa Rica, all of that sort of thing, and looking at the impact then that modern day behavior has had on the environment as well. But it's a follow-up from that previous book called Our Wild World, which I produced last year, and seeing how the world worked. This is kind of, in a way, how I found out how the world worked by all of my life going to these different places and looking at things. So that's out at the moment with O'Brien Press. Rush out and buy it, Pat.
Very good. I will so do. I don't know whether you saw that report about basking sharks are now protected.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Indeed, yes. It's been written into the law. In fact, I think it was last night that it's finally been signed into the Wildlife Act. And this is the first time that we're actually protecting fish. Our Wildlife Act has been there since 1976, and we're protecting mammals and birds and plants and things like that in it. But this is the first time we're actually protecting a fish. Now, mind you, the basking shark, you couldn't hunt the basking shark for the last 40, 50, 60 years. It was protected because it was hunted practically to extinction for its liver and for oil way back in the 1800s. But now, because it's written into protection, it means not just the fish, but it means the habitat where the fish is. It means what can be done or not done in the places where the fish are. And because we've discovered in the last few years that the west coast of Ireland, not only is it a good place for the basking shark to feed in early spring, but in autumn time, they come here a curtain. So we get all of these basking sharks swimming around each other, having all kinds of hot dates with each other. And it's an area where breeding takes place among the basking sharks. And this is really important, to have places where this can happen uninterruptedly. So by protecting the basking shark and its habitat, it'll mean things like destroying destruction from, you know, sonar sounds and cables and all kinds of things, have permission and consideration has to be given if these are being put into the waters. So it's a really good step to be protecting a fish the first time ever we have
and
fish.
There's no need for fishermen to be concerned about what the basking sharks may eat, because fish is not part of their diet. It's plankton and microscopic organisms. That's what they feed on.
Yeah, they're the second biggest fish in the world after the Greenland shark. And like elephants and rhinoceroses and things like this, the animals that are vegetarian are much larger. So this thing goes around opening its huge mouth, sucking in vast quantities of water in one end and out the other, and out through its gills. And as a consequence, all of the plankton and the little things, little food that's in that is filtered by the fish, and that's what it feeds on. So it's not doing any harm to fishermen. It's not anything like that. In fact, people engage fishing boats occasionally to go out and look where the basking sharks are. Although, again, there will be no consideration given after this to the distance you can come near to them and that not to be upsetting them. So it's nearly sort of an eco-tourism story, which is good rather than bad for the fishermen in that sense.
In a couple of questions here from Anna, why not include secondary schools in the tree planting on Tree Day?
Well, why not indeed? I mean, our sponsor, Sparrow, are very kindly sponsoring us for the 3,000 primary schools. But, you know, there's nothing stopping anybody in the secondary school going online as well and asking for a tree to be sent to their school. I mean, the tree site is open to everybody, the website, yeah.
Very good. Anna Nilauna, environmental consultant and president of the Tree Council. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.